أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين أما بعد قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to talk about some important points which are closely related to the human being's death. So these points are rotating around this rubric, from death to resurrection day. The first important point is not only the human beings, but also the rest of the creatures are subject to death. From the Holy Quranic perspective, and from the Quranic parlance in perspective, we understand that all the creatures, including the human beings, are subject to death. No one and nothing save Almighty Allah would remain in this world. No one is to remain in this world forever. Everyone, once upon a time, would go from this world. So this world is mortal. This world would not remain forever. Mortality is one of the most significant characteristics of this world. So this world is subject to death, including all those who are the resident of this earth, and the resident of this world. So there are various and several verses of the Holy Quran connoting this point that none would remain in this world save Almighty Allah. This very verse of the Holy Quran that I have just recited you that says, "Kullu man 'alayha fan." Everyone is subject to death save Almighty Allah. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ Only Almighty Allah, His Majesty, His Excellence, would remain with glory. Another important verse of the Holy Quran that implied this concept, that is this verse of the Holy Quran that says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ Every soul, every spirit, everyone would test the test of death. It means everyone is subject to death. No one can escape this phenomenon. As we know, by our common sense, we can have this understanding that, for example, our forefathers, the very previous generations, they are not amongst us right now. They have gone from this world. So the same case can be true for us, that we would not remain in this world forever. We might remain in this world for example, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, maximum 100 years or 120 years. But more than that, we cannot live or we may not be able to survive and live longer than that specific period. So the first general law in the very first common rule that we can deduce from the Quranic parlance, from the Quranic verses, that is that all the creatures, including the human beings, are subject to death. No one and nothing save Almighty Allah would remain. So everyone, all the human beings' unique characteristic is that they are mortal. They are not going to remain in this world forever. This is first. The second most important point that today we are going to touch, that is the reality of death. Again, heavily relying to the traditional reasons, to the traditional parlance, we are of the view that the truth of the death is a kind of transition. Death is not equal or equivalent to destruction or annihilation. Death means that you're going to have a transition from this world to another particular world. It is a transitional process. It should never ever be interpreted as destruction, as annihilation, as utter, for example, decomposition. No, it is a kind of transition from this mortal world to an immortal world, into an immortal life. So various verses of the Holy Quran and various prophetic traditions is stained by this concept that death should never be interpreted as destruction or as utter decomposition, as utter annihilation. No, death equals transition. The important word that is stained by this concept is the word of tawaffa or tawaffiya. This verse of the Holy Quran that says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُ فِيهَا. Almighty Allah says that when my angels are going to take holy the spirits of the human beings, they are addressed by these things. The important point is tawaffa. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. It means Almighty Allah has pinpointed some angels that they have to take the spirits of the human beings. Tawaffa means to take something utterly and completely without any loss. Almighty Allah says, pay heed that the most important constituent of your personality is your spirit. Your identity, your essence, your entity rotates around your soul and spirit, not around your physical and corporeal body. Your corporeal body might decompose, might decay, and indeed it starts decaying after your death. But what constitutes your personality, that is your spirit and soul? And that spirit and soul is wholly and utterly and completely taken by Almighty Allah's agents by the name of Malaika. And the head of those are Israel alayhi salam. Almighty Allah says in this verse of the Holy Quran that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَوَفَّى. It means to take the spirits of the human beings completely and utterly. And it is not subject to annihilation or destruction, because a spirit and soul is an abstract being. And it is not subject to those decompositions that every physical and corporeal bodies are subject to. So in this verse, Almighty Allah says that there are angels, that they are responsible, they are accountable. They are responsible for taking your spirits and your souls wholly and utterly. So this clue that Almighty Allah gives us, it is stained by this concept that our personality rotates around our soul. And after our death, our soul is taken wholly by Almighty Allah's angels. Because of this, we are not to be fearful of death. The third important point that today we are going to touch, inshallah, that is the fear of death. You know that almost everyone is having fear of death. So now let's talk about this. Is this phenomenon a natural thing? Is it something natural? Indeed, everyone fears death. Or everyone is having a sense of fear from death. Everyone is afraid of death. So death is a fearful phenomenon for everyone. Why we have to be afraid of death, or why death should be a looming or a threatening phenomenon for the human beings? For those materialists whose world is confined to this materialistic world, fear or being afraid of death is very much natural. Or even it might sound reasonable. Because beyond this world, he has no picture from his destiny and fate. Uncertainty bothers him. He does not have a clear image from his uncertain future. So he has to be afraid of death. In this materialist thinks that when he dies, he is in the verge of losing his dears and nears, his relatives, his friends. So he has to be fearful of death, or he has to be afraid of death. Being afraid of death might be something natural, but the level of this intimidation or the level of being afraid of death is related to one's belief or disbelief in death. In one's definition of death, he who defines death as total loss and annihilation and destruction, death must be the most fearful phenomenon for him. And he should always be fearful of death, because according to him, death equals destruction. Death equals loss of dears and nears, relatives, friends. So when he says that when I die, I'll be losing everything, then there will be no communication between me and my sons, my daughters, my relatives, my father, my mother, this and that. I will lose all these precious heritage that I have still saved for myself. So according to everyone's definition of death, death becomes either fearful or something cheerful. But he who defines death as a transition or as a window to another world, indeed, death is not a fearful phenomenon, or he is not extremely afraid of death. Now, inshallah, we will be talking about the reasons that why the human beings are afraid of death. But abstractly talking, it should be mentioned that he who defines death as total loss and destruction, indeed, being afraid of death is natural for him. For he loses everything and everyone. But he who defines death as a new window to an immortal life, death is not a fearful phenomenon, and he is not afraid of death. There are various examples from both these two perspectives, from both these two spiritual and materialistic worldview. He who is afraid of death and he who is not afraid of death. He who was not afraid of death and the closer they were going to die, the closer they were going to go and travel from this world, they were getting more cheerful. They were getting happier. The example is Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the third Shiite infallible leader, and his close friends, his faithful friends. In the battlefield of Karbala, the closer they were going to receive martyrdom, their faces were shining. And they were like this, that they are going to receive an immortal life, an immortal glory, an immortal glory. Because of this, they were getting braver. The bravery, the level of bravery they have shown, on those moments they were going to die, they were not comparable with the first days they were traveling to the battlefield of Karbala. And there are various examples from those people that they were telling us, by God, let me not die. And he was calling to his friends, to his close relatives, that you should not let me die. You should do something that I should not die, because they were afraid of death. And it stems from disbelief in death. First, second, from their definition of death. He who defines death as total destruction and loss, of course, fearfulness is something natural. He who believes that death is a window to a new immortal life, indeed, death is very much easy, very much digestible. It is not a fearful phenomenon. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, there are some three important reasons behind one's fearfulness of death. The first, that one does not believe in death. The second, one's extreme obsession to this worldly life. And the third, one's unpreparedness for the life hereafter. Let me clarify these three important points. The first is one's disbelief in the life hereafter. He who does not believe in the life hereafter or in resurrection day, in Akhirah, indeed death is a new start, is a new beginning for the life hereafter. So he who disbelieves the life hereafter, he must be fearful of this beginning. Because of this, he always escapes from the life hereafter. And he resorts to different things to flee from this thought, from this thing that a day comes that I will die. He starts to resort to this and that materialistic, we can say, entertainments to flee from this thought that I will die. The second is that one should be fully obsessed with the worldly pleasures. He who is obsessed with this world and with the worldly values, indeed, to tell him that he has to travel from this world, that is a very, very, we can say, difficult task for him. He who has invested his whole life for these worldly pleasures and worldly success, it seems hard for him to believe that he has to leave all what he has done in this world and he has to travel alone and his body should be put in a very small grave. For him, it seems extremely hard. For him, it seems the hardest work possible that he has to leave aside all what he has invested in this world, all what he has collected in this world, and now the time has come that he has to leave and he has to go from this world. For him, it is very much difficult because he has been extremely obsessed with the worldly pleasures, with the worldly, we can say, entertainments, with the worldly values. It must be hard for him, and he has to be fearful of death. This is the second reason that why one is afraid of death. The third important point is that we should not be fully prepared for this long journey that we have ahead of ourselves. Even most of the mu'mineen might be afraid of death. But their fearfulness does not stem from their disbelief in resurrection day or their excessive obsession to the worldly issues. Rather, it stems from their unpreparedness. Indeed, he who is not fully prepared even for a very tiny examination, he is trembling. The closer he gets to the time of examination, very tiny examination, maybe that exam should be for a very tiny employment. The closer he gets to that moment, he starts trembling. He starts shaking. Why? Frustration comes and there are various signs in his face and his feature that show that how stress has overcome him, that how stress is there prevailing over here. Why? Because he is not fully prepared to give positive answers to those possible questions. The same case is true for our life hereafter. The more we are not prepared for our life hereafter, the more we are not fully prepared to give answers to those decisive questions of ours, that much we will be afraid of death. And God bless those who have made themselves ready to go from this world, give positive answers to those decisive questions, and enter the paradise. So indeed, for them, going from this world is very much easy and desirable. Why for most of the mu'mineen it is not a desirable phenomenon, I mean death? Because they are not fully prepared to meet their Lord, to meet their Prophet, and to say that we have these answers for those decisive questions, that who is your Lord? What have you done for whole of your life? In the whole of your life, what you have done, the best deeds, have you ever done it? So indeed, being unprepared for the life hereafter, it also makes us afraid of death if we are not fully prepared. So respectable audience and distinguished listeners, some other important points are also there. Inshallah, in the next episode, we will be touching them. Dear listeners, may Almighty Allah bless us a happy life in this world and a happier in the next. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. God bless you.